Almanac. Each time you visit, we will be telling stories about famous Quakers and infamous ones, too. We'll also tell you about some lesser-known Quakers whose amazing stories we discovered. Some of these Quakers lived long ago, while others are among us right now in our own neighborhood. We'll tell you about Quakers of all sorts who are living in every time zone and working for Quaker concerns in a variety of ways. We'll also include in the Almanac stories about Quaker organizations and the work they do to alleviate suffering, to promote Quaker ideals, and to address injustice in the world. We began our research with a question: how do Quakers live their faith in the past and right now? As we began to write up our research, we wondered, what can we gain from their stories? We hope, as our project moves to its next stage, that you can find in the words and deeds of these friends some wisdom, comfort, and inspiration for your own spiritual journey. Our project has been supported by a Ford Knight grant for student-faculty collaborative research at Earlham College.
This is Abby bringing you the Quaker word for the day. Today I'm going to tell you about John Greenleaf Whittier. On this day in Quaker history, December 17, 1807, John Greenleaf Whittier, American poet, writer, and editor, was born in Haverhill, Massachusetts. Born into a Quaker family, he spent most of his early life working on the farm and was only able to attend school for 12 weeks a year during the winter. Though Whittier did not have access to many books, he read the newspaper that his father received and was also able to obtain a poetry book. At age 14, his older sister sent one of his first poems to the editor, and to the delight of Whittier and his family, it was published in the newspaper. Shortly after this, William Lloyd Garrison, prominent abolitionist and editor of the abolitionist newspaper, The Liberator, came to the farm and urged the Whittier family to send John to school so that he could continue writing. Whittier worked and sold shoes to earn the money to attend Haverhill Academy for 6 months. By the time Whittier was 20, he had published enough poetry to get the attention of editors who were part of the abolitionist movement. He wrote and edited for many abolitionist newspapers and magazines because he felt a calling to participate in the abolitionist movement. In a letter to a fellow friend, Whittier writes that, quote, as a member of the Society of Friends, he, quote, had been educated to regard slavery as a great and dangerous evil, and his sympathies were strongly enlisted for the oppressed slaves, end quote. Whittier's stance against slavery made much of his written work quite unpopular during most of his life, but he faced greater oppression than that. Whittier was mobbed and his office was sacked and burned because of his writings against slavery. He continued on with the fight against slavery, supporting the Republican Party and being one of the founders of the Liberty Party. Although he was elected as a member of the Electoral College of Massachusetts, he writes that, though he was deeply concerned with the responsibilities of citizenship and always took part in elections, that he has, quote, not been willing to add my own example to the greed of office, end quote. Whittier comments on his personal beliefs, which helped sustain him through his work, writing that, quote, I have been a member of the Society of Friends by birthright, and by a settled conviction of truth of its principles and the importance of its testimonies, while at the same time I have a kind feeling towards all who are seeking, in different ways from mine, to serve God and benefit their fellow men, end quote. Whittier suffered from poor health and died on September 7, 1892, in Hampton Falls, New Hampshire.
Thank you for visiting the Quaker Almanac. We hope you'll come back soon. Thanks also to Dan Graves of the Music Department at Earlham College for allowing us to use his arrangement of How Can I Keep From Singing? The West Coast Tour Choir of 1998 sings this particular version. Our project was supported by a Ford Knight grant for student-faculty collaborative research at Earlham College. If you would like to join this project and tell another Quaker story, contact Trish Eckert at the Newland Center for Quaker Thought and Practice or Mary Garman in the Religion Department.